Good morning. I appreciate so much this opportunity to stand before you this day and to discuss God's Word and hopefully come to a little better understanding if we can. And I would like to join the congregation in welcoming any visitors we may have in the assembly. I want you to know that we consider you very special guests here. One of the reasons we preach the gospel is for our visitors. And I want you to feel comfortable. If you hear anything in our assembly that's gone on already or that I say and you don't agree with or don't understand, you can ask me after the services or anyone here. And if you're willing to accept the Bible as the authority, then we'll be able to explain that. There are keys, I believe, that can be found in the Bible for understanding God's Word. I'm going to share just a couple of those this morning. There are many, but these are the two we're going to focus on. But first, I want to ask you this question. Why is it important to study God's Word? Well, Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 3 at verse 14, after he gave the qualifications there for the elders and deacons, he says, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayst know how thou oughtst to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." You see, the Lord's Scripture is where we learn of this church of which Paul writes. And why must we learn of this church? Well, Jesus said, "I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." We know that the saved are added to the church. We know that it was created by Jesus. In Matthew 16 and verse 18, he says, we know the saved are added to the church. Acts 2:47, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." And in James chapter 4 at verse 8, he says, "Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you." You see, the Bible is where we learn of our Savior, where we receive instruction. How to be a Christian, learning how to worship God, learning how to be pleasing to God. You know, if you take a course of study in a subject like math or English or such thing, they will give you or sell you a textbook. That book contains the elements or the basics of that subject. Well, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work." You see, the Bible says that the Bible is the textbook where you learn of God. The Bible then tells us to study the Word. 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." In Acts 17, verse 11, Paul writes to the Bereans, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. The Bible even tells us the result if we don't study God's word. Hosea 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing how thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. John 12, 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him the word that I have spoken. The same shall judge him in that day. You see, my friends, it is a vital importance that we study the word of God. And as we study, I want to point out a few things. Things I believe are essential for proper Bible study. Whether you are a brand new Bible student or if you've been studying for years, then we'll just remind you of these things. Things that are essential for proper understanding of the Scripture. Essential in learning how to conduct our worship and our very lives so that we are pleasing to the living God. There are some who claim we cannot understand the Bible anyway, so why bother reading it? We know that can't be true. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3 at verse 4, by which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. We are told we can understand, and our Savior gives us the key to this understanding. In John 7, verse 17, if anyone wants to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is of God or whether I speak of my own authority. You see, if you are studying the Bible, because you want to do God's will, Jesus says, you understand. So that's the first key to understanding God's word. That you are studying because you want to do God's will, and that you will adapt your life according to His precepts, even if it means you're going to have to give up some of your behavior, or maybe even start doing some things you've never done before. Find another key to understanding God's word when we turn to the very last thing recorded in the Bibles we carry around. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 18, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues which are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Now, many people read this, and they think this must be some new concept, that somehow we get to the end of the book of Revelation, all of a sudden we are told that we must not add to its prophecies or diminish its prophecies. And I understand this is written in the book of Revelation, and it most certainly applies there. But I want to suggest this is a very important biblical concept, and it is basic to our understanding of the Lord's Scripture. And I want to point out that this has been a requirement from the very beginning. You go back to the Old Testament, after Moses had led the people of Israel out of Egypt, and after they had wandered for 40 years in the wilderness, he gave this instruction to those who would finally enter the promised land. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord your Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. What's that, Moses? Don't add to God's word. Don't take from it. You see, Moses knew firsthand not to add to God's word. After 38 years of wandering in the desert, the children of Israel were without water. And when they cried out, God gave specific instructions to Moses. In the book of Numbers, at chapter 20, beginning at verse 7, we read, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. And this shall give forth its water. And thou shalt bring forth water to them out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. And Moses gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said to them, Hear now, you rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with the rod he smote the rock twice. Water came out abundantly. The congregation drank, and their beasts also. They did get their water. But listen to what God said to Moses. Verse 12, And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Moses was not allowed into the promised land because he added to God's word. And it appears that he took away also from God's word because he did not speak. He did not speak to the rock. He spoke to the people. And he smote the rock with the rod. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, Moses was reminding the children of Israel, again, before they entered the promised land, of the Ten Commandments. And in verse 32, he says, Therefore ye shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn to the right hand or the left. Do not turn to the right hand or the left. That is, do not add to God's word and do not take away from God's word. Deuteronomy 12 at verse 32, Ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand and to the left. And in the book of Numbers at chapter 22, the children of Israel had camped in the plain of Moab, and Balak was afraid. He was afraid because there were so many. He called for Balaam to come and curse them. And God told Balaam not to go, not to curse Israel, because he, God, had blessed them. Balaam told Balak's servants that had come for him in verse 18, And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. In chapter 24, Balak was allowed to go, and face to face he tells Balaam was allowed to go, and face to face he tells Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandments of the Lord to do either good or bad of my own mind, but what the Lord saith, that will I speak. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 27, turn not to the right hand to the left or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Proverbs 30 at verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. And add not thou unto his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. And in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6, and these things, brethren, I have in figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sake, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above what is written, that none of you be puffed up one against the other. And we're instructed in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise, dominion, forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, when we speak as the oracles of God, whether we are addressing an entire assembly, whether we're speaking to individuals, we must speak everything God has said and revealed about a subject, and no more than he has revealed. We must keep every statute, every commandment, and we must not take it upon ourselves to add anything to his word. We cannot add instrumental music because he told us to sing and make melody in our hearts, Ephesians 5:19, and that precludes anything other than singing. I've heard people say they couldn't attend the Church of Christ because, well, they just enjoy instrumental music too much. And I guess if we were worshiping them, we would have to bring in a piano and organ. But see, we're not worshiping them. We're worshiping God. And he said to sing and make melody in our hearts. That's just what we're going to do here as far as music in our worship. And we have to be very careful that we don't begin to think, as some do today, that if the Bible does not say we can't do something, then we can do it. No. Oh, no, Jesus made it very clear in Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone who saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Do you understand that? There are many that are going to say in that day, and I believe he's talking about when he returns, judgment. Many have done other than God has commanded, and they're going to cry like these folks did. Didn't we build a giant temple in your name? Depart from me. And didn't we erect a gymnasium, put your name on it? Depart from me. And didn't we start a television network and broadcast all over the world? Depart from me. And didn't we have crusades? Didn't we fill football stadiums, baseball stadiums? And didn't thousands come forward? And didn't we pray over them and pray the sinner's prayer? Depart from me. You know, when Jesus said in Mark 16 and verse 15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he's talking about every human, every person. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. You see, that's exactly what he means. If you are not baptized for your sins, you will be condemned. You understand that? You know, everything I've said to you today came from God's Word. I didn't make any of this up. I'm not some great orator, some great person that can do that. I just read the Bible and repeat it. And in God's Word, we're to do exactly what he says without adding or taking away. You cannot go to the church of your choice. You cannot worship in any fashion that pleases you or entertains you. You can't save yourself by being a good person or by reciting a sinner's prayer or by saying to yourself, oh, I accept Jesus in my heart. Because we're given explicit and, listen, very simple instructions on how to be saved from eternal damnation in a hell prepared for the devil and his angels. Let's take a moment to review these very simple instructions on how to be saved. A lot of times we rattle these off like everyone is familiar with them. And I know everyone who's in the Lord's church is familiar with them. But see, there may be someone here who's not familiar, who's not heard them before. Maybe someone even considering wanting to be a Christian. So let's just take a moment, take these one at a time, turn to the scriptures that we have been referring to. Read exactly what God has revealed without adding to it and without taking away. So we've heard the Word of God read in our presence today. Romans 10:17, so faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And we have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Acts 16:31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and all those in his house were baptized. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and baptized he and all his straight away. We have to repent. Luke 13:3, I tell ye, nay, except ye repent, you shall likewise perish. We have to confess. Matthew 10:32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him I will also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. And then we have to be baptized. As we said in Mark 16, verse 15, go into all the world, preach to every the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. In Acts 2:38, Peter said unto them, and these are the folks that cried out when Pilate asked to release Barabbas or Jesus, and they said, release Barabbas, what shall we do with Jesus? And they shouted, crucify him. Peter says, that same Jesus whom you crucified was both Lord and Christ. Says they were cut to their heart. Can you even imagine that? Can you even imagine that you were amongst that crowd and you shouted those words, crucify him? And now Peter's telling you that same Jesus is both Lord and Christ. They have to be thinking, there's nothing we can do. And they cry out, men and brethren, what can we do? And Peter tells them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Peter says again in 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth now save us. And then we have to live in obedience to the Word of God, not adding to it and not taking away from it for the rest of our lives. And then you know what? There's a crown of righteousness laid up for us. So if you're here today and you've never obeyed the gospel, maybe you've sinned in a manner you need to make a confession of that sin, a public confession. We'll hear your confession. You just want to come up and ask for the prayers of the saints. Whatever your spiritual need is, if you'll come forward while we sing this song of invitation.